Hi, and welcome to the Calvary Foursquare podcast. Our goal at Calvary is to reach our community with the truth and love of Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, it says that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So if you would like to find out more of who we are, you can go to our new website at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or search for us on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare. Thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast.
Causes increase in our life. It's the Word of God that does the work. And my vision is we will have a thriving youth and children's ministry. In fact, somebody told me that they had a dream the other night that this place was packed with children. It was a weird, it's kind of a cool dream, but she said, I was in a kitchen and I was surrounded by meat. It's like just brown everywhere, you know? And she asked the Lord for the interpretation, you know, it's like, and then I went into other, and there was children everywhere, and I thought about the scripture. I couldn't give you meat if I had to give you milk because there's envy and strife and division among you. You weren't able to receive the meat, but the meat and brown in the scriptures means healing. And I thought, I received that, Lord. I believe that. God is raising up a generation, a fatherless generation, that the Father is going to be healing and touching and delivering because they take the meat of the Word of God and it does a work in their life. I want to be a part of a church. You know, Steve and I have been a part of and even pastored a lot of different churches. And in the churches that we've been in, we've seen in the church, there's people that are hurting emotionally, depressed, anxiety, addictions, just as much as outside, it seems like. PTS or relationship problems, marriage, family, or performance problems. Many times if you walk in a Christian bookstore and you look around at the books, the models that they have, how to address these issues, but it looks like to me like Job's friends. A bunch of formulas, you know, a bunch of you need to give up this, it's your sin. There's four things that I realize hurting people are being told in the church. One, there's something wrong with you. You're hurting because of your sin involved, and we know that sin causes pain, and a lot of pain comes from our own sin, but it isn't always the whole picture. A lot of times people have been abused, and they've been on all kinds of issues, that they're trying their best. And they search for that sin, but it doesn't seem to get any better. The second model was a truth model. We hear that all the time. The truth will set you free. Just know your position in Christ and get enough Bible in your head. Memorize scripture and the truth will set you free. Well, that's true, but that's not what the passage is saying. It's saying if you continue in my word, if you let me do the process in your life, if you work with me, follow me, then you'll know the truth. The truth will set you free. The third one is this cosmic inner healing. We got to go back into your childhood and bring Jesus into that part and some truth. And you know that some of that, and I believe in some of that, but some of that even falls short. Then there's a supernatural model, which I also don't dismiss that God will do miracles. But sometimes with that concept, you see people have demons behind every bush. And so as I was thinking about these different ways, it's like I got delusioned. And I wanted to see true transformation, where people who are depressed aren't depressed anymore, where people with anxiety don't have anxiety anymore. And these four steps didn't seem like they were bringing lasting results in people's life, but the Bible prescribes incredible principles that heal us. But what I saw in most churches, that they weren't very healthy. They poured the starts from the top. Some of the churches that we pastored, we weren't healthy. You know, the oil, they poured the oil down on the priest and down on the beard. I mean, it starts with the head. You have to provide a culture for people to be healed. Healthy congregations have healthy leaders. Many times leaders have to help people so much out. That's why there's so much burnout in the ministry. Because the ministers are they're operating on empty. And they have pain in their own life and they need to be healed. We love, God doesn't have us operate on empty. He doesn't have just pour out ourselves and doesn't care anything about us. We love because he first loved us. God does not want us to operate on empty. I want this church to be a church that heals. And God has a way to heal us. So let's take some practical things. And from the my text today is in Luke. You know, the Bible talks about it in Ephesians. It's the whole body knitted together, joined together, that it will heal itself as everyone finds their place in the body and their gifts are thriving and flourishing. It says, from him the whole body fitted, knitted together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body by building up itself, health, in love, by the proper working of each individual part. So we're going to talk about Luke. We all need to find our gifts. When you got born again, when you said yes to Jesus, God put gifts in you. And God wants us all to discover those gifts and step out of the boat and get stretched. And we need to have grace for one another to practice our gifts, to step out and to experience God using each and every one of us. You know, Paul disappeared for 14 years where God was doing something in him. He probably had OCD. I mean, you look how structured the guy was. But see, it says in 2 Corinthians 1, he said that you would be comforted with the same comfort that I was comforted. So God did a work first in him that he could, out of his overflow, minister to the churches. So we're going to talk about the ingredients of growth. Or you can't seem to accomplish your goals, or you say, I just got to get better. How would you get better? You know, different people have different ideas about how to get better. You need more Bible study. You need more scripture. You need a therapist. You need a support group, accountability group, a coach, a mentor. And I'm going to give you a formula today. You know, usually I hate formulas, but I believe this formula is key to growth. And it's in Luke 13. He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answered and said to him, sir, or he said, wait, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it, fertilize it, and then if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down. So a certain man had a fig tree. The man had planted a fig tree in the vineyard, and for 3 years he came looking for fruit. And he says to the vineyard owner, cut it down. Why is it even using soil? We can sense the anger and the frustration in the vineyard owner. But the vineyard owner says, wait, let me do three things. I'm going to dig around, I'm going to fertilize, and give it another year. So what's the first response you see here? What do you see? What's the first thing you see in this parable? I'm going to go back. What's the very first thing you see in this parable? Help me out here, guys. What's the first thing? There was no fruit. They were looking for fruit. And the first thing really is what we have every day in our conversations with our husband or wife or children or even with our team. The first thing is an expectation. You wake up and you feel like crap and you say, oh, I ought to feel better. Or you're in a relationship, but it just seems like so unfulfilling. You think, that ought to be better. We have these expectations. The same as I have always been. I have the same. Look at your own growth and you think, I'm not even growing. I'm the same as I have always been. I have the same problems over and over with anger or lashing out or judgment. I think it's universal that there's some areas that we can look at. Even though a lot of times, you know, you'll have a review at work or something and they give you all these good reviews and there's one thing that they want to, where you could work on, and that's all you can think about is that one area where you need help. It's like it's all or nothing. You know, but it's okay to have the expectation. The expectation is not a bad thing, but it's what we do with the expectation, where we go with it. You know, a dog ought to bark. If he isn't barking, you know, there's something wrong. It's okay to have expectation, but we find a gap here. The fruit tree ought to produce fruit in 3 years. So we have an expectation, and there's no fruit, no change in the areas of your life, whether it's depression or anxiety or not being able to operate in your giftedness, or you feel stuck in the fear of failure, or your relationships are lacking intimacy or joy. There's no fruit, even though you've been trying. Now, I want you to get this here. This tree is not planted in a crate somewhere. It's planted in the vineyard. And you might have been in church for years. You might have been in therapy for years. And you're memorizing scripture, and you're reading your Bible diligently, and you keep trying and trying, and that's when it's most painful. When we keep trying and things don't seem to be changing. It leads to the conclusion of the first point. We call it a bad time. When time goes by and there's no growth. For 3 years, this tree has been here. Unfortunately, we all know what that feels like, that bad time. So then what do? We say, just cut it down. Just get a divorce. Just forget it. Clear and loud, especially if you grew up in a shame-based home. But look at the immediate response of every human, usually. They've done a study on the human nature, and the first response usually of a tendency for failure in us or others is judgment or the legal response. Paul talks about this in the book of Romans, where he says, the law, expectation, when you failed in one part, you failed in all. And he also says that there's a predictable emotional response to our failure, and it's to condemn ourselves or condemn someone else. So there's guilt and there's shame and judgment. I ought to be better. What was I thinking? I'm such a loser. I knew I shouldn't have never got married. I'm a lousy. I knew I shouldn't have had parents. I'm a lousy. Whatever it is, whatever your struggle is. Our first tendency is just to say, cut it out. Cut it off. Just forget it. And then the law, after the law, judgment, then there's wrath or self-hatred, blaming, shaming. So you get angry at yourself. I should do better. How many of you have ever, done that? I mean, we all do it. We in our marriage, where we get stuck in a relationship, and you shouldn't, you never, I never, you should, you just. We blame. Yes, the other thing that Paul says is that the law increases the problem. It gives sin strength in our life when we put ourselves under the law. When there's judgment, it gives sin strength. Just like a lot of times addicts, or even people that come up to the altar and they keep coming up to the altar, get saved again and again, and they think that that's the Christian life, that you feel bad and you try harder and you feel bad and you go to the altar, and that is the cycle of the law. And we call that feeling bad. What do we call that sometimes? Conviction. But conviction is something that God does, not how we feel about something. This isn't into loss and the need, and then we just go before God. But that cycle of Romans 7 over and over is never going to change us. As long as judgment is there, you're going to stay locked into the law cycle. With God's standards, he does convict us. I remember one time someone was leaving and say, oh, that was a good sermon. I said, oh, really? What was it a good? Oh, I don't know. I just felt bad, so it must have been good. It's like, no, that bad feeling isn't what we're going for. God will convict us, but what do we do with that? So what happens next? There's the expectation. There's the legal response. And the next thing is in enters the advocate. Who is our advocate? Yes. The judge. He goes right. He doesn't go to the tree and say, oh, just pray more. Just read your Bible more. Just try harder. No, he goes to the judge. He says, wait. Stop. Get rid of judgment. Get rid of condemnation, because that's what Romans 7, the whole cycle of why do I do what I don't want to do and don't want to do, and oh, wretched man that I am. There is therefore now no condemnation. That's how we begin the healing process. Jesus was the third party. He comes in from the outside, comes into our closed system of failure and judgment and shame to reorient us. So you think about what Jesus, what did he say with the woman caught in adultery? He says, where are your accusers? He who is without sin can cast the first stone. They all had to drop their stone. And he said, neither do I condemn you. That's number one. Anybody who gets saved, they need to understand, okay, you do not have to try harder and harder and harder and put yourself under the law. That's what Paul was so adamant about. No, in the Galatians, the Judaizers are trying to come and get him under the law. And he was adamant about that. To the judge. And he says, okay, wait. No. Stop with the judgment. Nothing will improve until the judgment is gone. Because the law kills. When you go to court and the judge hits the gavel, the game is over. No more self-improvement there. So what did he do? He stops the judgment. If Jesus walked in right now in the door, who is he? This isn't a trick question. You guys are not very talkative today. Who is Jesus? If he walked in, who is this? Jesus. He's God. Yes. And who else is he? Jesus. Yes. But he's God and he's man. I think this is why so many churches don't heal. He's the Son of God and he's the Son of Man. He was human. So how do we miss so much of the healing that God has for us? The New Testament teaches us in Ephesians 4 that the body will heal itself. Jesus says, confess your faults one to another. Pray one to another. I think this is the problem. People come into churches and they feel so judged and condemned. And so what do they have to do? They have to go back into that closed system and hide and wear a mask. Because if they show any struggle, I mean, I think about it. Here's a black and white church here where, you know, everyone that comes in, you have to fit their mold and look a certain way, and they have their rules. And then over here you have a AA group. Let's say, yeah. So a lot of people, when they come into this system and you feel the judgment, you know, judgment is an energy. Shame is an energy. Self-righteousness is an energy. And if you feel that, and you feel like you're not enough, you're going to go hide. You know, this is one reason why I'm doing emotional healthy spirituality, emotional healthy relationships, true-faced, where it talks about how to remove the mask, how to live truly. A lot of people are amputated from God's healing. It'd be like if you had an infected finger, you cut it off and you throw it in a drawer with a book on anatomy. So read this. It's not going to get healed. No, it has to be connected to the body. Connected to a blood will flow and the kidneys will filter out the infection. It's about being connected to a body. That's what's going to bring healing. That's what's going to be a church that heals. So God is wanting us to enter into his healing process. We're coming together with God to work together to do his good pleasure. So, if I asked you, who do you have that you go to that you can be totally 100% honest about all your shame, all your stuff, all your struggles, and they're there with your intent just to be with you and hear you and listen? You know, most pastors, leaders, that's why there's fall, they have nobody. Or they feel like they have to be this certain and they have to keep the congregation so they can't really see their dirt. Because if they saw it, they might judge them. We all need, that's what the body is for. Confess your sins one to another. To get really open and honest, where there's no condemnation. You can just open the door to redemption when the advocate enters in. Where is James 5:16 operating in your life, which says, confess your sins one to another, pray one for another? Do you have people that you can go to when you're struggling? You can just let the good, the bad, the ugly all hang out and just be honest and raw. Someone will say, seems like you're hurting, and you're, yeah, I am, you know. So God is calling us to be a no-fly zone for judgment and shame and condemnation. You know, in this church over here, the black and white church, you know, if you feel like if you're struggling, there's something wrong with you. Well, are you Jesus? Then there's something wrong. If you're not, we all have something wrong with us. Yes, but we go to him. We be honest with ourselves. You know, Steve and I went to Rhema, which is we broke our teeth on the word of faith message. But there were some things that I took, and it was the law. Like, you got to watch what you say. And that's law. If you're always having to watch what you hear, it's back right into the law of works, performing. Make sure you got to do everything right. And there's a lot of that. I mean, I don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, but we just have to understand Jesus did it all. So, over here is the black and white church. Then over here is our support group where you go in and you say, oh, victory in Jesus. They call it when you say, be honest. I mean, not that there isn't victory in Jesus, but we got to be honest. Over here, they have a name for that, and it's called denial. If you're not honest about your struggles. Jesus said, so many times we live under the traditions of the elders, but not the oracles of God. The leaven of the Pharisee, which is all about learning more truth, looking better on the outside, achieving success, even religious success. And Jesus says, you're not entering in yourself, and you keep those who want to enter from entering in. I want to talk about churches that heal. This is where the leaders in the church they are honest about their own struggles. If you're human, there's something wrong. Everybody came through this human race, pain and broken, passed on from Adam. And that's why Jesus had to come. So we have an advocate. He comes and he says, okay, let me dig around a little bit. This is where it gets hard. This is what people don't like to do. This is where emotion, healthy spirituality, you got to pay attention. What's really going on in here? And get honest with yourself. Just don't just get busy to try to numb it. Just don't get, get lost in an addiction, Facebook, social media, whatever it is, food, exercise. I mean, we have so many things that we can numb and not pay attention to what's really going on inside. He says, I'm going to dig around a little bit. And then it needs to fertilize. It has to receive it from the outside, the water, the sunshine, the minerals. To be fruitful, the tree has to receive from the outside. So we do too. He's going to dig around a little bit. He's going to fertilize. The heart of man is like deep waters, it says, but a man of understanding will draw it out. You know, you don't go to an oral surgeon to have an x-ray of a perfect tooth. No, you got to go in there. You got to talk about maybe what's going on underneath that tooth there. So God is calling us to be a healing church where we're honest with ourselves about our own stuff. We look to others, and when we're struggling, we ask for help. We ask for prayer. Living under the law renders faith useless. The mindset that says we must do something first to get God to move leads to performance. But I want our church to be a church that heals. the process is hard. I'm not saying it's, if you're not used to paying attention to really what's going on, you're used to blaming people, you get mad because they made us mad, they made me mad, and they did this, and I'm just frustrated and anxious because of everybody else. I'm telling you, pay attention. God will put his finger on it, and he'll heal us. Amen. So, Father, I thank you for what you're doing in our lives, God. Father, I know these people. You have called us to be fruitful and to flourish, Father. But all of us have something in our lives where we feel like it's unfruitful. So, Father, we ask you, God, that we would no longer judge ourselves or judge others, Father. That we'd receive your love. That we'd receive your wisdom, that we would come to you, Father God, that there is therefore now no condemnation, that we know you're coming right alongside us, walking with us out of bondage, walking with us into freedom. We could really enjoy peace, patience, God, how to operate as a body, every joint supplying, encouraging one another, loving one another, walking side by side. If anyone has a sin, God, that we go, Father God, and we help them with the spirit of gentleness, not judgment. So, Father, help us to speak truth in love. Thank you what you're doing. Have your way, God. Start right here with me, Jesus. Search me, try me. We thank you for your grace in our lives. Thank you for everyone here. There is no shame. There is no judgment that you have taken all of our shame away. And you're right here with us to help us walk out in freedom as we agree with you.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to hear more of our messages or find more information on who we are, you can find us at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com. or on Facebook, just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare Church. Thank you again for listening, and have a good day.